Yeah, Michael's back. Michael's back. Oh my goodness. I absolutely love this hour. It is my favorite because I get a chance to talk to my son, Michael Battle, all the way in Los Angeles, California. He is about to turn, oh, should I tell Michael? Should I tell them how old you're going to be soon? No, don't tell him. Yeah, man, that's when I think about you and your sister and, you know, I'm looking, oh, my gosh, I have children. What? That age? Oh, man. It's awesome, though, Michael. You're on the right side of the dirt, right?
That is the way to do it. That's the goal. Yes, and it was a jam-packed pre-birthday weekend. My birthday is midweek this year, and I have more plans next weekend. And this weekend in particular, I didn't plan it to be as packed as it was, but Lord knows, it was a blast. And like unexpected fun times popped up from last night, the evening before, even today. And I have so many stories. Where should I start?
Oh, just begin, honey. Wherever you want to land, go.
Just begin. Okay. First of all, I am not in my 20s anymore. So when I hang out with people who are in their 20s on Friday night and they say, let's go get one drink at the bars, just real quick. You know, I should know I can't hang like I used to back in the day. But, you know, we went out, I saw a ton of my friends, and basically at one location, I think I knew about 15 people who were there throughout the evening. More and more of my friends showed up, and again, it wasn't a planned thing, and it felt like a birthday party, if you will. And then once that happens, well, you can't leave, and then I was up until 3 a.m., so, you know, but I was thinking to myself, like, this is crazy, I'm too old for this. So I said, you know what, it's the weekend before your birthday, you only live once, have some fun. So I went to bed, got up, and the next night, which was last night, I did have that scheduled. I had a group of 12 people going to go see Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever in theaters. And so I was planning to get there a little bit early to eat some food. And backstory on this, I think you know I love wearing sparkly outfits, sparkly shoes, show pieces, you know, outfits that feel like a costume almost, because As a magician, I've been wearing costumes on stage for quite some time. I love performative clothing, things that make you feel different, walk different, feel good about yourself. You know, and for other people, it could be a different brand, a different style. It could be a really cool hoodie. For me, it's kimonos and, you know, sparkly things. So we've talked about the things that I've worn several times in the past, but I especially like to wear things like that on special occasions. So for Black Panther, when the first one came out in 2018, I wore a green and gold sparkly dashiki to the movies. And I had my other friends also wearing dashikis and African outfits. And, you know, I wasn't the only person dressing up because there was a huge swell of excitement for Black Panther when the first one came out in 2018. So since I planned this group outing to go see Black Panther 2 in theaters, I told my friends, hey, we're going to dress up. But the theme, of course, was either an African outfit or you could wear all black, which is fine. You can come as you are, which is fine. But people were also wearing all white to go see this film in theaters as an homage to the funeral for King T'Challa, of course, played by Chadwick Boseman, in honor of that, because that's the funeral garb in the movie and in many parts of West African culture. So I said, you know what, we're all white. And I didn't really have an outfit together. I didn't know what I was going to wear. I didn't have an option. And this may all sound silly, I'm talking about clothing, but, you know, I'm a movie person. You know, so when a movie comes out like this, and that is this special, and at this magnitude, and as a sequel to a film that had such a huge impact on my life, I'm going to show up. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to participate. And I also like wearing costumes. So here we are. Anyway, I put an outfit together with some old things I had, an old sparkly shirt, some old white pants. And I was like, all right, this will do. I didn't find anything, and this didn't require me to spend any money. And we get to the mall. Frankly, I'm still recovering from the night before. I'm a little bit tired. And Joey looks over and sees four beautiful women, all Asian, packing up some clothing at this skincare boutique. And it looks like they're about to leave, so it must have been some kind of pop-up shop. And he goes, oh, what's this over here? And I noticed the woman standing outside is wearing this fabulous kimono. It's like blue and embroidered and silk and sparkling. And I walk over. I said, oh, I absolutely love your kimono. She goes, oh, thank you. We're selling these. I said, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no.
She's like, yeah. And they start showing me different pieces. Like, oh, like, do you like kimonos? And I was like, do I like kimonos? And I pulled up my Instagram at Michael Battle LA and showed them all the kimonos I have worn on red carpets and to events. I was like, oh, I will wear a kimono with some sparkles. Like, I will make that happen. Fast forward. They say, yeah, we just launched a brand new brand. And this was a pop-up shop to sell this new brand. And they said, come on in. And they, would you like some Prosecco? You want some brownies, some snacks? Sure. And they start pulling out all these various kimonos that are really that long pieces that are, I guess, made for men. Men are women, but, you know, I'll wear them. And they are extraordinary. The fabrics, the textures, the sparkles, the cut. And I said, how much are these? And they quoted me a price, but I could not believe how good it was. Now, you saw one of the shirts I found online. I think I may have mentioned that to you last time I spoke to you. It was a crystal. It was a shirt that had crystals embroidered on the front. And I sent it to you, and I said, but Mom, you said, oh, it's beautiful. I said, look at the price. And how much was it?
Oh, my God, $6,642. I will never forget that.
Exactly.
It was crazy, Michael. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could get some fake gems, because those weren't diamonds. Those were fake gems, right? I mean, it was just like what you go to Joann Fabrics and buy. Am I right?
I'm assuming there are. Even if they were, who's going to go spend $6,000 on a shirt?
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
On a dress shirt.
When you sent that to me, I had to, like, blow a picture up to really see what it was all about. And where would you wear it? I mean, lightning could hit it if it's got metal on it, right?
I would wear it all kinds of places. I'm just that amount of money is just not sensible.
It's crazy.
So I was out of luck, and all of a sudden, I come upon this amazing pop-up shop. They're pulling in all these kimonos. They're fantastic. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Long story short, we just had this beautifully magical kismet moment. And Joann Alba is the name of the designer, last name Alba. Alba Legacy is the new company she just made. And she, is a fashion designer for celebrities and just did Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's suits when they got inducted to the Hall of Fame talked about last time. And Magic Johnson is her mentor. She's dressed Stevie Wonder. She's dressed Cardi B. She's dressed all these famous people and sports figures. And I find myself in this shop after months of shopping, can't find anything, being handed one after another custom one-of-a-kind kimonos made by a woman who's made a career dressing tall, muscular black men on sports teams in fancy outfits that sparkle. And I was like, well, look at God. What are the chances of being in that moment in that store? And they were so happy I was there. And I said, you have no idea. I started explaining to them what it means to me to wear these things. I'm like, yeah, it's clothing. Who cares? Who cares? I said, but it's important to me because when you work in tech, when you're in certain environments, it's important to walk into that space as your wholly authentic self. And after 2020, I made this kind of commitment to myself, to wherever I am, whether it's a business meeting, to have something on that screams who I really am. Don't put away the magician, the performer, the creative side of myself just for business suits and dress shoes. So the sparkly shoes that I bought and that we talked about, I wear those to work at Amazon Prime Video because that's who I really, really am. So having pieces like this to wear for my birthday, to Black Panther, it's just kind of an extension of that mindset. I broke into tears talking about this, and then they all start crying. We're passing the tissue around, passing the Prosecco around, just boo-hooing and giving hugs. Then they started giving me all these face products and just gifts for my birthday. And the main designer, she had on, and I'll make this quick, she had on this white textured kimono with all these rainbow colors on the inside. And as she kept walking around, I kept seeing this little glint of silk multicolor on the inside. And she saw me looking at it, and she said, oh, well, not this one. This one's special. And I'm shopping. And as we get to know each other, and we're all crying and hugging and talking, she takes it off her shoulders and says, you need to try this on. She puts it on me. I walk in the mirror, and I literally broke into tears. And at this
point,
I'm sobbing. I go, this is the most beautiful piece of clothing I've ever seen. And we're all sobbing. It's a whole thing. So now we're all friends on Instagram. I have 5 new kimonos. I wore the white one with the rainbow inside to Black Panther last night. I wore another one today, which we'll talk about in a second. And it was just a magical, magical moment before I ever even saw the movie.
Wow, it's an incredible story, Michael. It really is. And I know some people will laugh and go, why is he so into fashion? This is who he is. He's been, I remember when you were in fourth grade and you would wear polo shirts. You loved polo shirts. And you say, Mom, can I get this polo shirt at Montgomery Ward's? You remember that?
You would ask me.
Yeah, and you wore khaki pants. I mean, you look like, back then, you look like somebody who would work at Target. And, you know, with the red and tan on the khaki. So I am amazed at how far you've come, because the things that you love, you stick to them. You have sweaters. I know that old man sweater that you have. I'm going to eventually steal it from your closet.
But not to wear it.
Dedicated
to
someone
like that
who really, yeah, you know, give it to someone who really would enjoy it, you know.
But I'll say this. I'm also the kid in grade school who will go to school wearing a cape with a dragon puppet on my arm and just walk into school like he had a name. I gave him a backstory. And we're talking like a 5-foot-long puppet with a cape and a vampire wig that I would comb the hair back on.
You look just like Eddie. What was his name?
Eddie Murphy in the...
No, not Eddie Murphy.
Munster.
This is a little child. Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. With a black cape and a high collar and a dragon puppet. And that to me was the best day ever. That was just peak me. So yeah, that's the base. That's the foundation of who I am, which again, I get it from my mom.
One more interruption, Michael. You remember when we went to Las Vegas? I was performing. You came with me. And that, what was it called? EP. What was the name of that piece? EF.
EFX, the show.
EFX, the effects show.
Yeah,
right. Effect. Right. And we had a chance to go see that. We had time to go see it. It was spectacular. It really was. I don't know why it closed, but it was spectacular. And you were so inspired. You just immediately started creating, drawing, writing about everything that you saw. And, oh, Mom, in the future, when I start to do work like this, I really want to make sure I know what I'm doing. It was really amazing. And you've kind of been on this trajectory for a long time. You know, you've even done, when you were in film school, you even had an opportunity to do a small movie. And it was powerful, very, very powerful. So, you never give up, and I appreciate it.
By the way, really quick before we break, I think all this fashion talk, I think Michael needs to find some way to get involved or invested in this potential Estee Lauder Tom Ford merger. Estee Lauder buying out Tom Ford, I think that would be very beneficial for Michael.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had not heard of that either. And Tom Ford is going to be very expensive because everything he makes is insanely expensive.
Yep, it's nearly $3 billion for this. For them buying out Tom Ford.
I forgot to tell you, I just actually legally changed my name to Tom Ford. I'm not sure if I announced that. So I will be selling my brand that I started. My brand.
You started. Now, Michael, we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about an opera that you went to go see today. So we'll be back in a moment. Shut up and dance with me. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour right here on WCCO. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, along with my son, Michael Battle from Los Angeles. We are having a great time talking about some of Michael's escapades. It's just been so funny and then awful sad at times as well. Also, the other voice that you hear is Jonathan Lowe, our producer.
That song was for myself to shut up while the commercials are going, since I ended up talking over one of the commercials there in the break.
Oh, you didn't.
I was going to ask.
He just didn't push the right button. He didn't push the right button. We all make mistakes like that, Jonathan. No problem. No worries. It's interesting, Michael. You had a chance to go. You know, I was just talking to Jonathan about which states had the slavery reinstallation of slavery on the ballot for the midterms, and it was Alabama, mm-hmm. Louisiana, Oregon, Tennessee, and Vermont. And I was shocked at Vermont because it's Bernie Sanders' state. You know, I was just, you know, he's the liberal, and I just couldn't believe that it was on their ballot. And I don't know which one. There was out of the five, four rejected it, and only one did not reject it. I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know, Jonathan, did you find it yet? Oh, he's not there. Okay, so Mike.
No, I'm still looking over this story, this Associated Press story.
Okay, keep looking over it. That's okay, because I want to ask Michael a question. Michael, you had a chance to go to this incredible opera called Omar, and that was in Los Angeles earlier today. And it was about slavery and so much more like that, right? And I'm just curious to know, did you expect it? Is it what you thought it would be?
So when I first was on the phone with a salesperson from LA Opera who was trying to get me to buy season tickets, he said, "Oh, we have this new production," and he said, "It's Omar," and I think he pitched the storyline as an Arabic man in West Africa who then gets forced into the slave trade and brought over to the South here in America, and then has to struggle to maintain his Muslim faith in this new world of slavery and then forced Christianity upon American slaves. And I was like, that sounds heavy. I'm not really big into slave movies or content because it's just too heavy. I can't deal with it. It's sad. Then I started seeing trailers for this piece and little clips of the singing. Also, if opera is in English, I'm not a big fan of operas in English. And then my friend started to go. And I said, you know what? I actually think I really want to go see this piece. And I am so glad I did. First of all, it was sold out. That audience was absolutely packed. When that show ended today, I have not heard a live opera audience roar as loudly as that audience roared. Now, mind you, it was the last show in this run at LA Opera, so it was, you know, the final performance for this almost all-black cast, black conductor, and it's magnificent. The production design alone is worth seeing it. The scale, the height, and many of the set pieces have lines of the Arabic writing that Omar, the actual person in real life who wrote his memoir in the 1800s after surviving slavery and, you know, making it to America. And he wrote it in Arabic. And they have many of the lines from the book on the set, like inscribed on the fabric that's on the fabric of their costumes. And kind of like Black Panther, people showed up in outfits. So I had a kimono with like patches of African fabrics on the sleeves that, of course, I just purchased that I wore, and I got lots of compliments on that. But people really showed up in these beautiful pieces and African pieces and scarves and necklaces. And people knew we're going to go to this piece. We're going to honor this and be part of this theme and show with pride. And it was just an incredible experience at the opera today. So jam-packed weekend, and, you know, I haven't even gotten to what I thought of Black Panther, which, of course, we can get to later on. I hear silence. Are we good?
I am silent. I'm so sorry. I'm just talking? Oh, I was talking. Oh, wait. That is so embarrassing. Okay.
Well no, because you did the opposite of what Jonathan was doing. He was supposed to be on mute and talking. You were supposed to be talking. You
Jonathan, don't let him get to you. Don't let him get to you.
But sir, I only have one thing to say to you in advance of your birthday. Touche.
All right, Michael, we're going to take another break and I'll pay some bills and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:37 here at WCCO. Of course, my son, Michael Battle, this is called the Mom and Michael Hour. We've been doing this for, what, 18 years now, Michael, since you've been living out there in L.A., so it's always a pleasure. Also, the other voice is Jonathan Lowe, our in-studio producer as well. All right, Michael, it's time to talk about Black Panther. This is your thing. You do the movies for us, so what do you say about it?
Okay, so as mentioned, I had an outfit going in, which was great. Mm-hmm. I already had cried some tears. The movie theater was sold out. It was a mix of all colors and genders and ages, and it was, you know, what you would expect for a big four-quadrant film like Black Panther, but, of course, also large groups of mostly Black people like my group was also. The hype was huge for this. It's a sequel to, you know, one of those life-changing movies, Black Panther. how do I describe this? First of all, I don't want to give any spoilers because there are several surprises in this movie, so I don't want to talk about those. So overall, there are movies that I love that are in my top 10 because they're really good movies. And then there are movies that are peak points in my life. Again, I'm a movie person. Movies, of course, aren't as important to everyone else, but this franchise is one of them. And this sequel is one of them. I wept. The people next to me wept. Everyone in that theater was weeping during this movie at multiple different points. It is entirely a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And it's not just about the loss of an actor. Like, I didn't know him, you know? I've never met him before, but obviously that movie meant a lot to me and to a lot of other people around the world. But it was a combination of losing him and how they had to shift this entire film after he passed away from cancer to make it into a new film. But it also encapsulated overall mourning of Black Death. And then in the storyline, saw how that the weight of that mourning was shouldered on the backs of Black women, and how they have to process and push through that weight. And it was all of 2020 wrapped into art in a way that's, you know, more digestible because it's a Marvel film and still a superhero film, but it was just so much more than that. And to me, that's what movies should do. They should allow you to go into a totally different world, escape into something fantastical and wonderful that takes you out of reality, but in that same space, give you a new lens, a new filter through which to process something important. And the grief of 2020 and all that's come after that very much is still being processed, and we were weeping in that movie theater. So it's a must see film. Even if you have not seen all the Marvel films, if you've seen Black Panther 1 and you enjoyed it, you must see Black Panther 2. Yes, there are action sequences, and there's, you know, what you would expect from a Marvel film. There's, you know, big explosions and really fun stuff. There are some funny moments. The film is, I think, 2.5 hours long. I mean, so there's definitely time to get in all the beats you would expect. But the main tone is that respect, reverence, and honoring of the loss of Black Panther himself. And I don't want to say life-changing on a movie, but it's like I'll be telling my kids about, when I went opening weekend to see Black Panther 1 and 2 in an outfit, and we all cried together and what that meant. Huge piece of advice. As we all know, Marvel has usually a couple cut scenes, one at the mid-credits, as they call it, so after the first like 2 or so minutes of credits roll, and then sometimes one at the end. Make sure to stay for especially the first cut scene on this film, because it is an important one.
Okay, so Michael, how does one studio be able to create so much for one franchise?
I think it's once in a lifetime. I mean, there have been studios that have produced hit after hit. There have been producers that have produced hit after hit. There's never been a Kevin Feige, who is the head of Marvel content. There's never been a singular person who has overseen, at this point, what are we at, 14 years of franchise movies all in the same universe? He really is the first, and I don't mean to give him all the credit. There's an enormous team of people, of women and people of lots of genders that make this happen. But their team, they're the first ones to do this at this scale and at this level of success, producing the most successful movie studio in the history of movies. And there have been some misses. I mean, the Doctor Strange film that came out earlier this year, as we talked about, wasn't the greatest movie and definitely had some weak points. The Thor film that came out earlier this year was really quite terrible. Had some fun moments.
It was all about love, wasn't it?
The Thor Love and Thunder, it wasn't very good. So, you know, they don't always get it right. There are weaker entries in the Marvel franchise, but this is not one of them. So I think the question is, when you do this many films over this period of time, how are you still able to foster the creation of seminal pieces like this? And I think it's giving Ryan Coogler and the rest of the team the space to make what they need to make to make it for the culture, for Chadwick Boseman and his family and for the fans, to know what this movie means to fans of all colors around the globe and to honor that, give them space to do the work. And they did. We're going to hear about this film during the Oscars. I think it should win again for costumes. Some of the best costumes I've seen in the movie since the last Black Panther film. And we may hear for some acting. We'll see. But it's just an incredible, incredible movie.
Can I offer my 2 cents on this?
For sure.
Can I offer my 2 cents on this?
Did you pay to go see a show at 2 cents?
I'd like
just
to.
Just kidding, Jonathan.
It'd be great with inflation right now. That'd be awesome.
It'd be great.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I think we have to also take a nod to the source material and Stan Lee, who was in many ways the generator of this entire universe of I guess you could call them misfits or outlaws in a way. And the fact that you had so much material to pull from, and you had all these different superheroes with all these different flaws that could make them humanized, I think that finally getting a chance to tap into that and having the technology to kind of let your imagination go. Because I don't know if you could have done this back in the 80s or back in the 60s. You didn't have the technology to keep up with the imagination that you can get in the comic books. So I think you got to get a big nod there.
Well, yeah, you didn't put your 2 cents in, honey. That was about 45 cents.
Wait.
You owe Michael some money.
I don't disagree, Jonathan. Stan Lee obviously is the progenitor of all things Marvel. However, many studios and producers have tried to do this very thing before Disney ever got their hands on it. We can think of the old X-Men films and the X-Men films that even kept going before Disney purchased Fox. Most of those are not good. I saw them all in theaters and I enjoyed them, but they're not very good movies. We can think of the original Fantastic Four films that Fox also tried to do. And there have been Blade 1, 2, and 3, Punisher. There have been so many Marvel films and all the various iterations of Spider-Man films, some better than others, that did not capture this magic. So, yes, the material is there, but this particular iteration of bringing Stan Lee's original vision to life isn't just about technology. I think there is a higher level craft happening here and a grander foresight that no one else had before.
Well, I hope that's right. I mean, it's quite remarkable to see the cast. I mean, I was very moved by just looking at the pictures of the cast. No matter how many Marvel movies you talk about, this particular piece, the last one, which was Black Panther and Black Panther 2, it's from what I can see and sense from it all, just hearing from people, because I haven't seen it yet, but I will. I promise you that. Because I loved it when I went to go see Black Panther 1. Although some people really believe that there were empty moments in Black Panther 1. Do you agree with that?
I don't, but I am deeply biased because I'm a huge Marvel fan. So are either of these films, Black Panther 1 and Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, are those two films perfect? By no means. Do they have flaws? Sure. But I think the overall success just completely outshines where there might be a flaw, because I'm not really as obsessed with the character development of the villain. You know, I'm really I'm looking into how this is honoring the ethos, the culture of Black Panther. How is it speaking to the fans? And it did that impeccably. I have friends that were like, oh, you know, I would have liked more of that. Or I have a friend that owned a visual effects company. And he was like, oh, it was good, but the VFX in that shot or in this shot. And I'm just so moved by it as an experience that I'm less inclined to nitpick at things like that on this particular title.
Right. Okay, we've got to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about or ask you about what was the spirit in the room like when you went to go see Black Panther 2. We'll be back. It is now 10:52 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this hour, talking about several things tonight with my son, we call this the Mom and Michael Hour. We sure appreciate you sticking and staying with it. We hope to have spoken about in the only 2 hours that we had tonight. The rest was for games, for sports. But I must say that it has been quite remarkable to see how all of this is affecting so many, and hopefully raising us up, so that we all can get to the point where we understand one another and absolutely care for one another. Michael, as I look through the cast, I see about 5 or 6 people of non-color, white people. And then I also see many black people. I see the one that you used to work for, the incredible Oscar winner, Forrest Whitaker, who was also in this piece. Tell me what part he played.
I don't think he was in the second one.
No kidding?
Well, let's say this, though. I don't think we should go through the cast because okay. I don't want to give away any spoilers on that.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, I am excited that you and your sister had a chance to go. Do you think children can handle it? And if so, at what age?
That is a really good question. It's a PG-13 film, so if I go with that, I'd say 13. Obviously, there are young people who are going to try to go see this film before they're 13. So I would just base it off of the first film. Like, if you have a young person who could handle the first one, they could likely handle this movie, but there's an overtone to this film that has a lot more gravity than pretty much any other Marvel Universe film that we've ever had. So I think it would take that conversation. Like if you don't talk about death in your household a lot, this is going to spark that conversation because it is heavy at times.
Okay, so then let's talk about the spirit in the room. You know, for me, anytime I go to a movie theater or just go inside any place to watch a show or a concert, you name it, I'm very alert to what it feels like in the space. What did it feel like for you, your friends, and all the people around you? What did you sense?
That's the first word that comes to mind is it felt like release. It felt like a memorial service, where you cry, but people tell beautiful stories and crack some jokes and you smile and you hug each other and you leave there having that release, that emotional hug where you say, we honor this person. We went through this experience together. And as a community, we're going to now move forward with respect and honor. It has a lot of that feeling throughout the film and in the theater. And I mean, again, there are people next to me in the theater that I've never met before, and we're turning to each other being like, oh my God, we're crying again. And we're laughing like it's just so good. You know what I mean? So it was a communal experience. And again, people of all colors. This is a 4-quadrant film. Yes, it's called Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And it has a huge black audience, but it is shown in the first film and now again in this one with the box office receipts that people of all colors and ages go see this film and have that attachment to this character. So it's release, it's healing.
Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:37 here at WCCO. Of course, my son, Michael Battle, this is called the Mom and Michael Hour. We've been doing this for, 18 years now, Michael, since you've been living out there in L.A., so it's always a pleasure. Also, the other voice is Jonathan Lowe, our in-studio producer as well. All right, Michael, it's time to talk about Black Panther. This is your thing. You do the movies for us, so what do you say about it?
Okay, so as mentioned, I had an outfit going in, which was great. Mm-hmm. I already had cried some tears. The movie theater was sold out. It was a mix of all colors and genders and ages, and it was, what you would expect for a big 4-quadrant film like Black Panther, but of course also large groups of mostly black people like my group was also. The hype was huge for this. It's a sequel to, one of those life-changing movies, Black Panther. How do I describe this? First of all, I don't want to give any spoilers because there are several surprises in this movie, so I don't want to talk about those. So overall, there are movies that I love that are in my top 10 because they're really good movies. And then there are movies that are peak points in my life. Again, I'm a movie person. Movies, of course, aren't as important to everyone else, but this franchise is one of them. And this sequel is one of them. I wept. The people next to me wept. Everyone in that theater was weeping during this movie at multiple different points. It is entirely a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And it's not just about the loss of an actor. Like, I didn't know him, you know. I've never met him before, but obviously that movie meant a lot to me and to a lot of other people around the world. But it was a combination of losing him and how they had to shift this entire film after he passed away from cancer to make it into a new film. But it also encapsulated overall mourning of Black death. And then in the storyline, saw how that the weight of that mourning was shouldered on the backs of Black women, and how they have to process and push through that weight. And it was all of 2020 wrapped into art in a way that's, you know, more digestible, because it's a Marvel film and still a superhero film, but it was just so much more than that. And to me, that's what movies should do. They should allow you to go into a totally different world, escape into something fantastical and wonderful that takes you out of reality, but in that same space, give you a new lens, a new filter through which to process something important. And the grief of 2020 and all that's come after that very much is still being processed, and we were weeping in that movie theater. So it's a must-see film. Even if you have not seen all the Marvel films, if you've seen Black Panther 1 and you enjoyed it, you must see Black Panther 2. Yes, there are action sequences, and there's, you know, what you would expect from a Marvel film. There's, you know, big explosions and really fun stuff. There are some funny moments. The film is, I think, 2.5 hours long. I mean, so there's definitely time to get in all the beats you would expect. But the main tone is that respect, reverence, and honoring of the loss of Black Panther himself. And I don't want to say life-changing on a movie, but it's like I'll be telling my kids about, yeah, when I went opening weekend to see Black Panther 1 and 2 in an outfit, and we all cried together and what that meant. Huge piece of advice. As we all know, Marvel has usually a couple cut scenes, one at the mid-credits, as they call it, so after the first, like, 2 or so minutes of credits roll, and then sometimes one at the end. Make sure to stay for especially the first cutscene on this film, because it is an important one.
Okay, so Michael, how does one studio be able to create so much for one franchise?
I think it's once in a lifetime. I mean, there have been studios that have produced hit after hit. There have been producers that have produced hit after hit. There's never been a Kevin Feige, who is the head of Marvel content. There's never been a singular person who has overseen, at this point, what are we at, 14 years of franchise movies all in the same universe? He really is the first, and I don't mean to give him all the credit. There's an enormous team of people, of women and people of lots of genders that make this happen. But their team, they're the first ones to do this at this scale and at this level of success, producing the most successful movie studio in the history of movies. And there have been some misses. I mean, the Doctor Strange film that came out earlier this year, as we talked about, wasn't the greatest movie and definitely had some weak points. The Thor film that came out earlier this year was really quite terrible. Had some fun moments.
It was all about love, wasn't it?
Thor Love and Thunder, it wasn't very good. So, you know, they don't always get it right. There are weaker entries in the Marvel franchise, but this is not one of them. So I think the question is, when you do this many films over this period of time, how are you still able to foster the creation of seminal pieces like this? And I think it's giving Ryan Coogler and the rest of the team the space to make what they need to make, to make it for the culture, for Chadwick Boseman and his family, and for the fans, and to know what this movie means to fans of all colors around the globe, and to honor that, give them space to do the work. And they did. We're going to hear about this film during the Oscars. I think it should win again for costumes. Some of the best costumes I've seen in the movie since the last Black Panther film. And we may hear for some acting. We'll see. But it's just an incredible, incredible movie.
Can I offer my 2 cents on this?
For sure.
Can I offer my 2 cents on this?
Did you pay to go see a show at 2 cents?
I'd like
just
to.
Just kidding, Jonathan.
It'd be great with inflation right now. That'd be awesome.
It'd be great.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I think we have to also take a nod to the source material and Stan Lee, who was in many ways the generator of this entire universe of I guess you could call them misfits or outlaws in a way. And the fact that you had so much material to pull from and you had your all these different superheroes with all these different flaws that could make them humanized, I think that finally getting a chance to tap into that and having the technology to kind of let your imagination go. Because I don't know if you could have done this back in the 80s or back in the 60s. You didn't have the technology to keep up with the imagination that you can get in the comic books. So I think you got to get a big nod there.
Well, yeah, you didn't put your 2 cents in, honey. That was about 45 cents.
Wait.
You owe Michael some money.
I don't disagree, Jonathan. Stanley obviously is the progenitor of all things Marvel. However, many studios and producers have tried to do this very thing before Disney ever got their hands on it. We can think of the old X-Men films and the X-Men films that even kept going before Disney purchased Fox. Most of those are not good. I saw them all in theaters and I enjoyed them, but they're not very good movies. We can think of the original Fantastic Four films that Fox also tried to do. And there have been Blade 1, 2, and 3, Punisher. There have been so many Marvel films and all the various iterations of Spider-Man films, some better than others, that did not capture this magic. So, yes, the material is there, but this particular iteration of bringing Stan Lee's original vision to life isn't just about technology. There, I think there is a higher level craft happening here and a grander foresight that no one else had before.
Well, I hope that's right. I mean, it's quite remarkable to see the cast. I mean, I was very moved by just looking at the pictures of the cast. No matter how many Marvel movies you talk about, this particular piece, the last one, which was Black Panther and Black Panther 2, it's from what I can see and sense from it all, just hearing from people, because I haven't seen it yet, but I will. I promise you that. Because I loved it when I went to go see Black Panther 1. Although some people really believe that there were empty moments in Black Panther 1. Do you agree with that?
I don't, but I am deeply biased because I'm a huge Marvel fan. So are either of these films, Black Panther 1 and Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, are those two films perfect? By no means. Do they have flaws? Sure. But I think the overall success just completely outshines where there might be a flaw, because I'm not really as obsessed with the character development of the villain. You know, I'm really I'm looking into how this is honoring the ethos, the culture of Black Panther. How is it speaking to the fans? And it did that impeccably. I have friends that were like, oh, you know, I would have liked more of that. Or I have a friend that owned a visual effects company. And he was like, oh, it was good, but the VFX in that shot or in this shot. And I'm just so moved by it as an experience that I'm less inclined to nitpick at things like that on this particular title.
Right. Okay, we've got to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about or ask you about what was the spirit in the room like when you went to go see Black Panther 2. We'll be back. It is now 10:52 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this hour, I'm talking about several things tonight with my son. We call this the Mom and Michael Hour. We sure appreciate you sticking and staying with it. We hope to have spoken about the only 2 hours that we had tonight. The rest was for games, for sports. But I must say that it has been quite remarkable to see how all of this is affecting so many, and hopefully raising us up, so that we all can get to the point where we understand one another and absolutely care for one another. Michael, as I look through the cast, I see about 5 or 6 people of non-color, white people. And then I also see many black people. I see the one that you used to work for, the incredible Oscar winner, Forrest Whitaker, who was also in this piece. Tell me what part he played.
I don't think he was in the second one.
No kidding?
Well, let's say this, though. I don't think we should go through the cast because okay. I don't want to give away any spoilers on that.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, I am excited that you and your sister had a chance to go. Do you think children can handle it? And if so, at what age?
That is a really good question. It's a PG-13 film, so if I go with that, I'd say 13. Obviously, there are young people who are going to try to go see this film before they're 13. So I would just base it off of the first film. Like, if you, you know, have a young person who could handle the first one, they could likely handle this movie. But there, again, there's an overtone to this film that has a lot more gravity than pretty much any other Marvel Universe film that we've ever had. So I think it would take that conversation. Like, if you don't talk about, you know, death in your household a lot, this is going to spark that conversation because it is heavy at times.
Okay, so then let's talk about the spirit in the room. You know, for me, anytime I go to a movie theater or just go inside any place to watch a show or concert, you name it, I'm very alert to what it feels like in the space. What did it feel like for you, your friends, and all the people around you? What did you sense?
That's the first word that comes to mind is it felt like release. It felt like a memorial service, you know, where you cry, but people tell beautiful stories and crack some jokes and you smile and you hug each other and you leave there having that release, that emotional hug where you say, you know, we honor this person. We went through this experience together. And as a community, we're going to now move forward with respect and honor. It has a lot of that feeling throughout the film and in the theater. And I mean, again, there are people next to me in the theater that I'd never met before, and we're turning to each other being like, oh my God, we're crying again. And we're laughing like it's just so good. You know what I mean? So it was a communal experience. And again, people of all colors. This is a four quadrant film. Yes, it's called Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And it has a huge black audience, but it is shown in the first film and now again in this one with the box office receipts that people of all colors and ages go see this film and have that attachment to this character. So it's release, it's healing.
And finally, we only have about a minute left. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 84%. Is that enough for you? Do you think it should have been higher?
The audience score is 95%, but I think this movie is bigger than Rotten Tomatoes scores or its incredible box office this weekend. It's the highest grossing November opening ever. So it was huge in the box office. The scores are great. The reviews going out are great. It'll make a ton of money, but it's bigger than all of those things. It got right what it had to get right, and that was honoring Chadwick Boseman.
Yep, that's the key. That was the key for the audience because immediately when Ryan Coogler was even announced, people started, you know, campaigns going, whatever you do, we still have to honor him. He's gone. Mm-hmm. He left this planet. Right. We still have to honor him. And they did from what I've heard. So I can't wait to see it. I'm really looking forward to it. And every time I get a moment when I can go, I stop and just go, wait a minute. Wait. Do I want to go with someone? And who would that person be? So I wish I could come out there and see it with you and Joey. But, you know. Oh, and by the way, how did Joey like the opera? Just in a couple
words.
He
actually really enjoyed it. The first half was heavy, but the second half was more uplifting, and it was beautiful to watch, so he loved it.
That's awesome, and the costumes you said were just, operas are amazing to look at, to watch, to be a part of. It's just amazing. Michael, it's been so much joy having you on. Your mother loves you so much. And I think about you. I pray for you. I feel as though I am so connected to my children, and that is a godsend. So never forget who you are. Don't forget who you are and whose you are. Deal?
Deal.
I love you, son. Good night. Jonathan, thanks for everything. Good night, everyone. It is now 10:52 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this hour, talking about several things tonight with my son, we call this the Mom and Michael Hour. We sure appreciate you sticking and staying with it. We hope to have spoken about in the only 2 hours that we had tonight. The rest was for games, for sports. But I must say, that it has been quite remarkable to see how all of this is affecting so many, and hopefully rising us up, so that we all can get to the point where we understand one another and absolutely care for one another. Michael, as I look through the cast, I see about 5 or 6 people of non-color, white people. And then I also see many black people. I see the one that you used to work for, the incredible Oscar winner, Forrest Whitaker, who was also in this piece. Tell me what part he played.
I don't think he was in the second one.
No kidding?
Well, let's say this, though. I don't think we should go through the cast, because okay. I don't want to give away any spoilers on that.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, I am excited that you and your sister had a chance to go. Do you think children can handle it? And if so, at what age?
That is a really good question. It's a PG-13 film, so if I go with that, I'd say 13. Obviously, there are young people who are going to try to go see this film before they're 13. So I would just base it off of the first film. Like, if you have a young person who could handle the first one, they could likely handle this movie, but there's an overtone to this film that has a lot more gravity than pretty much any other Marvel Universe film that we've ever had. So I think it would take that conversation. Like, if you don't talk about death in your household a lot, this is going to spark that conversation, because it is heavy at times.
Okay, so then let's talk about the spirit in the room. You know, for me, anytime I go to a movie theater or just go inside any place to watch a show or a concert, you name it, I'm very alert to what it feels like in the space. What did it feel like for you, your friends, and all the people around you? What did you sense?
That's the first word that comes to mind, is it felt like release. It felt like a memorial service, where you cry, but people tell beautiful stories and crack some jokes, and you smile and you hug each other, and you leave there having that release, that emotional hug, where you say, we honor this person, we went through this experience together, and as a community, we're going to now move forward with respect and honor. It has a lot of that feeling throughout the film and in the theater. And I mean, again, there are people next to me in the theater that I'd never met before, and we're turning to each other being like, oh my God, we're crying again. And we're laughing, like, it's just so good. You know what I mean? So it was a communal experience. And again, people of all colors. This is a 4-quadrant film. Yes, it's called Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And it has a huge black audience, but it is shown in the first film and now again in this one with the box office receipts that people of all colors and ages go see this film and have that attachment to this character. So it's release, it's healing.
And finally, we only have about a minute left. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 84%. Is that enough for you? Do you think it should have been higher?
The audience score is 95%, but I think this movie is bigger than Rotten Tomatoes scores or its incredible box office this weekend. It's the highest grossing November opening ever. So it was huge in the box office. The scores are great. The reviews going out are great. It'll make a ton of money, but it's bigger than all of those things. It got right what it had to get right, and that was honoring Chadwick Boseman.
Yep, that's the key. That was the key for the audience, because immediately when Ryan Coogler was even announced, people started campaigns going, whatever you do, we still have to honor him. He's gone. Mm-hmm. He left this planet. Right. We still have to honor him. And they did, from what I've heard. So I can't wait to see it. I'm really looking forward to it. And every time I get a moment when I can go, I stop and just go, wait a minute. Wait. Do I want to go with someone? And who would that person be? So I wish I could come out there and see it with you and Joey. But, Oh, and by the way, how did Joey like the opera? Just in a couple
of
words.
He actually really enjoyed it. The first half was heavy, but the second half was more uplifting, and it was beautiful to watch, so he loved it.
That's awesome, and the costumes, you said, were just... operas are amazing to look at, to watch, to be a part of. It's just amazing. Michael, it's been so much joy having you on. Your mother loves you so much, and I think about you. I pray for you. I feel as though I am so connected to my children, and that is a godsend. So never forget who you are. Don't forget who you are and whose you are. Deal?
Deal.
I love you, son. Good night. Jonathan, thanks for everything. Good night, everyone.